Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Western Heights Uniting Church. You are welcome because you are part of God's creation. We pay our respects to the land, its first people, and custodians of the land, the Wadawurrung, their elders, past, present, and emerging. Our theme for the next few weeks is going to be us, God, and creation. And today, we're going to explore just one of the creation stories and what that says to us about who we are and about our faith. Wonderful Earth by Nick Butterworth and Tom Inkpen. First of all, there was darkness. Nothing. Zero. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was. Then suddenly there were stars and planets and galaxies and comets and meteors and great clouds of gas all whizzing about and going bang like an enormous firework display. And God said, "That's not bad for a start." Out of all the millions and billions and zillions of planets, God picked out one to be special. Why this one? I don't know. It wasn't even big. It was the Earth. God made the Earth spin, which made the day and night. He made the moon go round the Earth, which made the months. And he made the Earth go round the sun, which made the years. Then, with his finger, he gently nudged the North Pole a little to one side, which made the summer turn to winter and back again. It was all very complicated, like making a giant clock, but it all worked perfectly. On the Earth, God made dry land and water. The land had mountains and canyons, and deserts and huge exploding volcanoes. The water was even better. God made rain and rivers and mist and waterfalls and hailstones and snow and icicles and icebergs and great oceans with enormous crashing waves just out of water. Then came the plants. Little twiddly ones at first, too small to see. The plants grew and grew and grew until great forests spread right round the earth and the whole world turned green. It was very beautiful. There were all kinds of plants. Some had leaves like giant hands. Some had long, spiky ones. Some had small, feathery ones. And some had no leaves at all. Some could grow in just one day, and some lived for 1,000 years. Some had lovely flowers, and some had delicious fruit. Some had seeds as big as your head. Some had seeds like dust, and some had seeds that whirled like helicopters and grew into great big trees. But now the fun really started. God made animals. He made some black and white and some brightly coloured. Some with lots of hair and some with lots of teeth. Some high jumpers and some low jumpers. Some who lived in big groups and some who lived by themselves. Some with stripes, some with very big and some with very tiny. Some with spots, some with long necks. Some who are good at fishing. Some with horns made of hair. And some that hiss, and some that roar. Some fat and grey, some pink, some with rings on their tails, and some with stings on their tails, some with tentacles, and some with tusks, some fast, and some slow, some with blue feathers, and some with blue bottoms, some who like it cold, and some who like it hot. Some birds that can't fly, and some fish who can. God made hummingbirds as small as bees and whales as big as buses, chameleons that can change to any colour, sloths that grow moss on their backs, parrots that can talk, and swifts that sleep while they are flying. Moths that look like leaves and insects that look like sticks. Skunks that smell disgusting, except other skunks. Squirrels that fly, bees that dance, worms that eat mud, and goats that eat anything. Dolphins that smile, crocodiles that grin, and hyenas that laugh. Butterfly fish and parrot fish, and lion fish and bat fish and catfish and dogfish and hogfish, hairy caterpillars and bald eagles, beavers that build dams and moles that dig tunnels, kangaroos that carry babies in pouches and pelicans with beaks like shopping bags, sharks with teeth like razors, beetles with antlers, gorillas as strong as 10 men, jumping fleas and jumping spiders, toads that blow themselves up like balloons, electric eels, and beetles that glow in the dark, bears that sleep all winter long, termites that make tall houses tough as concrete, salmon that can swim up waterfalls, lizards like dragons, elephants with noses like hoses, and squids that squirt ink. He made animals that sing and squawk and spout and hiss and hoot and howl and honk and chirp and peck and pounce and flap and fly and slide and slither and squirm and creep and crawl and prowl and growl and gallop and glide and dive and swoop and jump and hang and warble and squeak and roar. Oh, and he made the duck-billed platypus too. And he made a whole lot of animals that you've probably never heard of. The dugong, the common noddy, the wrestling half-beak, the slow loris, the football fish, the banana quit, the lousy watchman, the weedy sea dragon, the pink fairy armadillo, the rubber boa, the bush squeaker. And last but not least, he made something really wonderful. What do you think it was? It was you. And me, of course. And everybody else. He made people. We're his masterpiece. His best effort. Hooray!
The Bible starts off with a magnificent hymn to creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the deep. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And the story goes on, and day by day, at the end of each day, God looks at what God has created, and God sees that it is good. And there's evening and there's morning, a first day, a second day, and so it goes on.
Today's reading is Genesis 1, 24 to 31. Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things, and wild animals of the earth of every kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind, and the cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit, you shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day.
And then on the last day, something different happens. God creates the animals to walk the earth, walk the land. And then God says, "Let us create man in our image." And in the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them in God's image. And at the end of the day, God looks at what God has created, and God sees that it is good. And there's evening and morning, a sixth day, the last day of creation. You and I, men and women, are created in the image of God. Our purpose is to reflect back to creation the image of the Creator God. That is our purpose. That's our commission, and it's a beautiful commission, and God sees that it is good. We have a purpose. Christians understand that image. What does it look like? Well, there's some pretty wild and ropey ideas about what God is like and the image of God, and we find a lot of them in the Bible, actually, particularly in the Old Testament, as people groped towards an understanding of who God is, what God is. In Christian faith, we understand that the image of God is seen in its quintessential form in Jesus. In his birth, in his life, in his death, and in his resurrection. The image of God. And last week we looked at how Jesus said, "You take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy. My burden is light." Of course it is, because if we're doing it that way, we're doing it the way we are designed and created to be. Of course it fits well. And it's good for creation. It's good for everything around us. I wonder if you've been noticing the presence of God around you, maybe coming out through you, when you are living the image of God. I wonder if you've seen it in those moments when compassion has taken over from busyness and tiredness or fear. I wonder if you've noticed it sometimes in the unquestioning outreach of a baby's hand, or just the joy of something beautiful like watching a pair of plovers look after their little babies running along after them. Paul said God's very nature, his eternal power and deity, is seen in the very things that he's made. Okay, you are created for that purpose. That's what we're there for. And I wonder if you see it at work, God coming back at you through creation, and sometimes you're that part of creation, because that's what you're here for. And you can do it. And the Spirit of Christ can, the Spirit of God, the image of God, can live out through you and through me. And sometimes we see it coming back at us beautifully if our eyes are open to see it. God looked at all that God had created, and God saw that it was very good. I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue, clouds of white, the bright blessed day, dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry, I watch them grow, they learn much more, I'll ever know, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yeah, I think to myself, what a wonderful world. And keep you. I'd like to read to you a parody of Psalm 8 that was written by Bruce Brewer in his book Australian Psalms. God, our wonderful God, you make everything that delights the eye. Yours is the gift of everything that draws breath. Yours is the energy that vibrates the wing of the bee, the gracefulness of black swans skimming over still lakes, the joy of a puppy bounding to greet its owner, the courage of a shell duck leading ducklings to safe waters, the song of a magpie on a soft spring morning, the beauty of pink galahs wheeling over trees at sunset, the purpose in mutton birds returning to southern sandhills, the warmth surrounding the joey and the kangaroo's soft pouch. Yours, Creator God, is the skill of the wedge-tailed eagle, the play of the bandicoot on warm summer nights, the strength of the baby koala clinging to its mother, the authority of seagulls riding salty winds, the games of the dolphin surfing among the swimmers, the communal chatter of colourful parrots, the vigour of trout leaping in quiet, still waters, the persistence of fairy penguins waddling up sandy slopes. Yours, wonderful God, is the dance of the slender brolga, the industry of the ant through the long summer days, the power of the buffalo breaking through the thickets, the glory on the radiant wings of a beetle, the excitement of the platypus hunting for yabbies, the agility of mountain minnows darting between shaded rocks, the wariness of the wallaby peering through the bushes, the confidence of the sparrow winning crusts from the pigeons. Yours, Lord, truly yours is the laughter of the kookaburras, the speed of an emu striding through mallee scrub, the comedy of the crab's side scurrying over wet sand, the searching of the cockatoo for a place to nest, the effortless padding of a dingo over salt bush plains, the conversation of the blackbirds at early morning, the vision of the wombat as it rummages through long dark nights, the display of the lyrebird celebrating its creation's joy. God, our wonderful God, you make everything that delights the eye. Yours is the gift of everything that draws breath. Thanks be to God. St. Paul wrote that God's eternal nature, his power, his deity, is clearly seen in the things that have been created. So God is clearly seen all around us, but a lot of the time we don't see it because our eyes aren't open. We're looking for something that fits our image of God rather than finding God in ways that we don't expect. So what I'd like to challenge you to do, thinking about what I've talked about today, thinking about what Bruce Brewer offered us in his beautiful rendering of Psalm 8 in an Australian setting, is to look for the signs of where God's at work. Look for the signs of the presence of God. Not in spectacular, amazing, impossible things, but in the things that God has created. So it might be in something you see in nature. It might be in something that you see in someone you love, or someone who you don't know at all, or someone who's got nothing to do with the church. It might be in a little child. It might be in something beautiful that you didn't expect. A reminder that God is all around you. God is there. There's so often, I think God's there, but we don't see God because we're not looking. We're looking in the wrong direction. I want to tell you a story. Two blokes walking down Swanston Street. And one of them's a bloke who spent a lot of his time out in the bush, amongst the bush. The other bloke's a city bloke. And as they're walking down the street, the bushy bloke says to the city bloke, "Hey, listen to that." City bloke says, "What, what, what, what?" He says, "No, listen, I can hear a cricket." The city bloke says, "What are you talking about? You got trams and taxis, you got 1,000 people walking up and down the street, you got horns blowing, you got cars, motorbikes, you can hear a cricket?" He says, "Yeah." He says, "I can hear a cricket." And he walks over to a shop and stands there for a moment. And then he picks up a pot plant in front of the shop, and underneath the pot plant, there's a cricket. And the city bloke says, "That is amazing. Is this something to do with your, you have this sort of a supernatural connection with the land because of your First Nations roots connections, in your blood?" The other bloke says to him, "Hey, don't be silly." He said, "It's what you're listening for. And the bloke says, "Nah," he says, "can't be." He says, that's amazing. He says, "Yeah, well," he says, "it's not. It's what you're listening for. Look, I'll show you." Puts his hand in his pocket, pulls out a handful of little coins, drops them on the footpath, and 250 people stop dead in the middle of the city. There's so much that we do or don't see because we are or are not listening, looking. So see if you can see God at work and let me know. Send me an email, ring me up, tell me, "Bruce, I've seen God at work here, and this is how I saw God. This is where I saw God present in God's creation." And who knows, it might become a part of next week's service. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.